Praise the Lord. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for all those that came out this morning to sit at your table. I thank you for your holy presence. I thank you for your joy and your laughter. I thank you, Father God, that you said we just have to be just having a good time right now. And Father God, that's what we're doing because of your anointing that presides over each and every one of us. Now, Father God, I'm just asking that your holy angels go to and fro throughout these chairs and minister to your people this morning. And Father God, do a complete work in them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, I was asking God what to teach, and he said retribution. And if you're not walking with God 100%, you're in a dangerous spot. This is Sunday morning. Wednesday night after I preached, I stepped down off the pulpit, got halfway over there, and God started speaking. I said, you're angry. And I would back us down. I said to Chris, I took off the microphone. I said, you're going to prophesy because God's angry, and I don't want no part of this. And so I told him who to prophesy for the first two, and then God said, you're going to prophesy whether you want to or not. So then he just started. And but I didn't want to get involved in that, but, you know, God, he does what he wants to do, right? And this is what you have to do, too. You have to yield to God and let God do what he wants to do through you if you're really his vessel of honor. All right. How many of you know that you need to be praying for? Oh, okay. I want to tell you another thing. God said to me, I was making the bed this morning. God said, my son, President Trump, will run 2 terms. And he said, I will use him to clean up America. So, you know, if you're not praying for him, you better be praying for him because, you know, God's going to use that man and use him mightily. And then I read what his wife said about if you're going to come against the president, you better be expecting a tenfold return because he doesn't put up with junk. So, you know, it's really amazing what's going on out there, and people are not aware of it. They sit in their own little world, you know, and they make up things in their own little world. But you have to be involved in the whole world and everything God is doing. I was saying to Brother Brett this morning that there's just something not right in the atmosphere. I'm not saying in here. There's just something not right in the atmosphere. Something's going on. And God hasn't told me about it yet, and I haven't picked up on it either. So I'm anxious to hear what God has to say, that what is going on. Now, if you looked at the news, it was a tsunami and an earthquake, right? Killed 400 and some people, destroyed 2 cities simultaneously. And I know God for years, God would tell me he was going to destroy 2 cities. And I kept saying, "What? You know, why do you keep telling me that?" But here it is. He's using these earthquakes and tsunamis to destroy cities. And we don't know what's coming down with us, but we need to be in prayer. We need to be ready. And you know, and we need to be hearing God's voice for ourselves and not relying on somebody else to speak for us. I mean, for God to us. All right, divine retribution. The subject this morning in Romans is God gave them up, or divine retribution. Retribution is a justly deserved penalty, the act of correcting for your wrongdoing. It is a justly deserved penalty, the act of correcting for your wrongdoing. Romans chapter 1, verses 24-32 is all about God's retribution upon unnatural sexual relationship. And I didn't know that this is the way God was going to go with this until I started. And so what I'm saying here is that God is tired of the homosexual, lesbian things that are going on, and God's now is coming with his rod of wrath, and he's going to straighten that mess up. Amen. Let's read Romans chapter 1, verse 18-32. God shows his anger from heaven against all the evil and wrong things that people do. Their evil lives hide the truth they have. This makes God angry because they have been shown what he is like. Yes, God has made it clear to them. There are things about God that people cannot see, his eternal power and all that makes him God. But since the beginning of the world, those things have been easy for people to understand. They are made clear to what God has made, so people have no excuse for the evil they do. Your word is very clear as to how we're supposed to live. People knew God, but they did not honor him as God, and they did not thank him. See that? Their ideas were all useless. There was not one good thought left in their foolish minds. Isn't that how the world is today, including the church? Verse 22, they said they were wise, but they became fools. Verse 23, instead of honoring the divine greatness of God, who lives forever, they traded it for the worship of idols, things made to look like humans, who get sick and die, or like birds, animals and snakes. People wanted only to do evil, so God left them and let them go their sinful way, and so they became completely immoral and used their bodies in shameful ways with each other. They traded the truth of God for a lie. They bowed down and worshiped the things God made instead of worshiping the God who made those things. He is the one who should be praised forever. Amen. Verse 26, because people did those things, God left them and let them do the shameful things they wanted to do. Women stopped having natural sex with men and started having sex with other women. In the same way, men stopped having natural sex with women and began wanting each other all the time. Men did shameful things with other men, and in their bodies they received the punishment for those wrongs. People did not think it was important to have a true knowledge of God, so God left them and allowed them to have their own worthless thinking, and so they do what they should not do. They are filled with every kind of sin, evil, greed, and hatred. They are full of jealousy, murder, fighting, lying, and thinking the worst things about each other, and they gossip and say evil things about each other. They hate God. They are rude, proud, and brag about themselves. They invent ways of doing evil. They don't obey their parents. Isn't that what the world's like today? They are foolish. They don't keep their promises, and they show no kindness or mercy to others. They know God's law says that anyone who lives like that should die. But they not only continue to do these things themselves, but they also encourage others who do them. Now Romans chapter 1 verse 16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." For years now, God has been showing me different people who I have ministered to and who keep refusing to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they have turned away from him, and so he's taken himself away from them and he's given them a reprobate mind. Now, with what God said Wednesday night when he was prophesying to people, he told some of you, you don't have another chance. This is it. Next thing will be his divine retribution. And I don't believe anybody sitting in here this morning wants God to withdraw himself from you. I know that it's really hard to sit and listen to a hard word, but the problem with the body of Christ is they've been hearing a soft word too long. And they've been led to believe they can do what they want to do and still make heaven, and that is not true. This is why you don't find good husbands. This is why you don't find good fathers, because the pastors, evangelists, whatever you want to call them, have always let men believe that they can do what they want to do and still make heaven their home, and not true. If you're not walking in the love of God, in the grace of God, in the peace of God, long-suffering of God, then you're not walking with God. Love is the foundation, as we well know. And God is trying to get men to get a foundation of love so that they will then know how to love their families. And if you watch families, men don't really take the role of a husband or a father the way they ought, and they get prideful and lifted up, and they want women to bow to them. Now, I'm just not running men down, but this is the way the church is. This is what God has been showing me. And he's trying to get the men, ever since I've been ministering the word, he's been trying to get the men to straighten up and be the fathers in the churches, in your homes. All right? And God is still dealing with that. We wouldn't have the divorces in the churches that we have if the men were doing what is right. And I know some men say, well, it's the woman. Well, you know, I've been around long enough to find out that the reason why the women do what they do is because men are at the core of their hurts and their pain. All right. So then we read those two scriptures. And what I said here is the church must get to the root of why God's children still sin after they've sinned under the power of God. The root of the matter has to do with the change of man's heart. And I'm talking about man and woman. The root of the matter has to do with the change of man's heart. See, I have noticed that people just, I don't care if you're man or woman, people do not change their heart. They don't allow God to move in and take out the old and become, and they don't allow God to become their all in all. And that is why we still have all the sin natures in the house of God. And God is saying it's just time that we become his people, do what he wants us to do in his word, and we let go of all the things of the world, and we become his chosen generation. Paul tells us that all perversions of life can be traced back to one fundamental cause, and that one fundamental cause is perversion in faith. We read there were just, that we must live by faith. The just must live by faith. And God's been dealing with us about growing up our faith, has he not? And you guys, we have to come to the point where we just trust God 100%. We don't have to have any manifestation of anything. We don't have to see anything going on around about us. If God said it, then he's going to do it. And it is in his word, he said it all. And so he's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. Just walk by faith. You've tried all the other mess, right? And it doesn't work. Just trust God. Amen. Y'all know I was having trouble with my income tax. They wouldn't release my check. And I got a telephone call the other day, and a lady says, you will be receiving your check within a week. I received my check yesterday. But the way they made out the check just blew my mind. First of all, they put Barbara Lynch, and underneath that, they put Lawrence L. Lynch, deceased, and Barbara B. Lynch. I thought, and then they sent it to me, not to my bank, but why did they go about all that? But I've been fighting them ever since April the 3rd to give me my check, and they were kept holding on to it. I said, God, you have to release my monies. You said you were going to release my monies. I need my monies now. And so they finally got released, and, you know, just a phone call out of the blue, you're going to get your check within a week, and I'll call back to make sure you have received that check. And, you know, I just didn't fuss about it. I just said, God, you're in control of my monies. You said everything was fine, so I'm trusting you, period. Amen. And we have to do that in every area of our life. All right, so I said Paul tells us that all perversions of life can be traced back to one fundamental cause, and that one fundamental cause is perversion in faith. Now, perversion in life arises from perversion in faith. If we do not think right, it is inevitable that we shall not do right. All right? We've been reading about, hearing about the mind and, you know, the way we think and this and that and the other. But if we don't have faith in the Word of God, then we're not going to do right. This is where you really have to work on your faith. This is where you're going to have to, when things aren't going right, get into your Word and see what happened in the Word. And see how God's people walk through their problems and their storms of life. Amen. that whole Bible, it was written for our benefit, so we would know how to react in different things. How many of you can honestly say that when things came up in your life and you read the word, it was there, it gave you encouragement, didn't it? Because, okay, there it is. That's my situation right there. And this is how God worked it out. So, you know, if he did it there, he's going to do it for you. Too many people don't read the word, and this is the problem. All right, one of the things that we learned from the passage that we just read is that God takes the fact that he is God very seriously. And I think he did that Wednesday night through the prophetic word to you people. And consequently, he, being a very righteous and holy God, as well as a loving God, does not hesitate to set forth the consequences of our human sin. Now, how many of you know what you reap, you're going to sow? And how many of you can say, I have reaped. All right. Remember, I gave that testimony Wednesday night. We need to quit blaming for other people. It's what we've done is the reason why we're going through our messes. Paul speaks about men and women as first given up to uncleanliness in verses 24 and 25. Second, given up to vile passions. And third, given up to a reprobate mind. This is what Paul talks about in that scripture we just read. Now, Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You know, David's a good example of how God works with his people. You know, David always had, he always had to pay for the sins he did. But God still loved him. And he didn't quit fellowshipping with God. He just kept, all right, I did wrong. I deserve this chastisement. And he kept on walking with God. You know, some people say, "How dare you do this to me, God," and walk away. Oh, he dared because you dared to do what you did. Amen. All right, I said, the word of God says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Not what he thinks he sows, not what he hopes that he sows, but that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm not going to reap what you did. I didn't sow that. You sowed that. Amen. See how this works? So don't blame it on somebody else. It's what you do that you reap. All right, God gave them up is an active verb stressing the activity of God. In other words, God withdrew his hand from the people. I read where someone said God ceased to hold the boat as it was dragged by the current of the river, and I thought that was pretty neat. God ceased to hold the boat as it was dragged by the current of the river. In other words, God's going to let you go. You want to do your thing, he's going to let you go. And he's told me many times, quit praying for them. They have decided to go their way. Let them go. I'm letting them go their way, and you need to stay out of the picture. They chose that path. You did not. Are you listening here? If you would get that down into your spirit with your kids or with your spouses or with your friends, you will live a very peaceful life because you'll quit being concerned about everything that everybody else is doing. They make their choices the same as you make yours. You've lived a life before them. You've given them the word. So what if you messed up in life? Now what they're seeing is somebody who is totally and completely changed. And maybe they can't wrap their mind around that. But still in all, you keep living that changed life. And eventually, it should sink in that God is real. That he can transform people. Amen? Come on. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Then he goes on to say, "And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You know, this is why God says, never forget from whence you came, because you weren't always lily white. You know, you were in messes too. Maybe not the same mess as somebody else in, but you had your own messes. And this is why, you know, I keep telling my family, quit judging one another. Stop and think where you were at one point. You and everybody in here, you need to stop judging somebody else. You need to just keeping your own vessel clean. God will take care of the other person if they need to be taken care of. Somebody told me something about somebody, and I took it to God, and he says, leave it alone. I have this in my hands. There's no problem. That's just what they're perceiving. He says, I've got this thing covered. Leave it alone. I'm just saying, I left it alone, you know. So you know what somebody else perceives might not be really what's going on. That's just their perception of things. And you just need to put it in God's hand and leave it there. Then 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. How many of you know that if you're around evil people, you really have to fight really hard to keep yourself pure and holy? I mean, it is a battle. That's why God says, you know, that you should not be unequally yoked. Our Bibles tell us that God is a God of love, a God of tenderness, a God of grace, a God of long suffering. We love to hear those things, but the Bible also tells us he is a sovereign, just, and holy God, and he inflicts judgment upon men when the word of God is disobeyed. People don't like to hear that, but saints, it's the truth. When you disobey God's word, when you come against God's anointed ones, you're in for trouble. Because that now you've just become a target for God, and he's upset with you, and he's going to let you know that you need to keep your mouth shut. See, the body of Christ needs to understand that. We are all special and unique to God, and you need to quit judging what other people are doing. If you think they're doing wrong, give it to God. Let him handle it. You can't change that person, but God can if the person wants to be changed. I'm dealing with somebody who says, I don't want to change. I like the way I am. I like what I do. I said, but it's all evil. I still like it. So there's nothing I can do about it, right? And God told me, he said, that they won't listen to me either. So what do? We leave them alone. We just let them walk out their life. I'm always believing that somewhere along the line, God will change them. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But I'm still believing that somewhere along the line that something is going to come into their life. You know, God's going to send something in their life. It's going to touch them and they will change. But I don't try to change them anymore. I quit that. All right, let's reread Romans 1:26 through 28. Worse followed, refusing to, you know, the people were in a mess. So verse 26 says, worse followed, refusing to know God, they soon didn't know how to be human either. Women, this is in the Message Bible, women didn't know how to be women, men didn't know how to be men. Don't we see that? Sexually confused, they abused and defiled one another, women with women, men with men, all lust, no love, and then they paid for it. Oh, how they paid for it. Emptied of God and love, godless and loveless wretches. See what they said? Empty of God. That's how you pay for it. Because God just walks, I'm telling you, God just walks away. Verse 28, since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God quit bothering them and let them run loose. So as we read Romans, Paul went from uncleanliness to homosexuality. In Romans 1:26 and 27, because people did those things, this is easy to read Bible. God left them and let them do the shameful things they wanted to do. Women stopped having natural sex with men and started having sex with other women. In the same way men stopped having natural, I want to get the word natural in there, this is what the Bible calls it, sex with women, and began wanting each other all the time. Men did shameful things with other men, and in their bodies they received the punishment for those wrongs. And when I looked all that up, it means they got sick. Sicknesses were put on their bodies. Now, Paul uses the words natural sex. Those words make it very plain that in the Bible, the sex act is grounded in the natural constitution of the sexes. Homosexuality is an unnatural relationship to oneself and to one's body. And consequently, if we may believe the words of the Apostle Paul, it is contrary to God's order. It was said of Julius Caesar that he was every woman's man and every man's woman. The apostle goes on to say that God has given man over to reprobate mind in Romans 1:32, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You know, we're doing the Conqueror Series 2, and it's going very, very well. Brother Mark is an excellent teacher, and he uses his own testimony, which is really, you know, impressing the people. And God has made these series so that men can get right. But I was reading, they sent me their emails, the Conqueror Series people do, and they were saying that women now are coming into the programs too, and they are getting themselves right. Because the men were so messed up, I've read this a long time ago when I first taught it years ago, the women then said, okay, the men can do this, I'm going to do this too. Wasn't that dumb? And now the women are messed up as well as the men. But they're saying now the women are coming into the Conqueror Series and they're getting cleaned up. God is really moving mightily among the women. So, you know, women, you know, just don't point your finger at the men, because women do the same thing. And if you read your emails and the ads, they just stick sex in your face constantly. They approve of self-satisfaction and stuff like that. And they tell you how to do it, when to do it, and this, you know, and I think this is terrible. And our young kids are growing up, and this is what they're going to be reading. This is what's going to be thrown in their faces. So if we don't get it together, our children are not going to get it together. If you watch pornography, your kids are going to be watching pornography. You know, and if you do stupid things, your kids are going to do stupid things. Guys, we have got to be an example for this younger generation that's coming up, that's going to be the leaders in the churches. And we don't want them messed up like the leaders in the churches are today. All right? And I know that perversion is really, really, really bad, and it's getting worse. But I'm believing that with the things that God is bringing forth now, that it's going to be reversed. And these things aren't going to be going on anymore. But still, no, we have to stand in the gap. We have to be the ones to be an example for our children to follow. All right. We aren't women haters. We aren't men haters. We love God, and then therefore we love everybody. And we're there to help and not hinder. I don't think there isn't a soul in this room tonight that couldn't give a testimony of how you were messed up, but that how God came in and cleaned you up. And therefore you should have compassion for those who are messed up. Right? That's where I'm at. James 4:17. All right, James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you know not to look at pornography and you still do it, then you're sinning, right? We are not in danger of judgment. We are under judgment, because God is judging the house of God. He really is. We are under the wrath of God, and the ultimate wrath is to come. In other words, right now, this is why God had me preach on retribution. We are under God's wrath right now, but pretty soon, God's just going to walk away, and there's no chance for you to come back. I believe that's what he told some people in here Wednesday night. You know, this is your last call. This is the last time I'm going to come and talk to you about this. And God even showed me that so many people are walking around in self-deception. They believe they're okay. And, you know, and they want to hear certain things from God, and they do hear them from God. And God was telling me this morning, I was up sitting at my computer, and he said, he gave me those verses, you know, where he sent out an angel, a spirit who said, I'll be a lying spirit, and I'll go tell the person what they want to hear. And he said, this is what's happened in the body of Christ. People won't really listen to the truth of what God's telling them, and they want to hear a certain thing, and they keep wanting to hear the thing. So eventually God sends a lying spirit, a prophetic word, and tells that person exactly what they want to hear. And I'm hearing God say right now, because they've already turned their mind over, you know, their mind's already reprobate, and so God's just left them. And that's a very dangerous place to be in, saints. Please. You know, if you want to hear something from God, don't, and you hear other things other than what you want to hear, don't keep insisting that you hear that one thing, because God will let you hear it, and it's going to take you totally off course. All right? You know, I just think the best thing to do is just to be walking so close with God that that you're just doing, just like whenever I was doing something, making a bed, I think, or doing something, and then God just said, Elaine's going to give a large testimony today. Give her space to do that. Yeah. You know, that's the way you need to be. You're not praying. You're not doing anything. You know, you're just about, you're so close to God. You're just about your everyday business. And all of a sudden, God just decides to come in and commune with you and start telling you different things. And that you're safe then, because you're not expecting him to say something special. He just talks to you. Amen. Too many people just try to manipulate God. All right. So I said we are under the wrath of God, and the ultimate wrath is to come. That raises the question, can God really give man up? We are often only given a picture of a God who is good, who is kind, who is loving, who is a shepherd figure, who is a mother kind of figure. And so we are inclined to think of a God who is very soft-hearted and sometimes soft-headed as well. Now, the Bible gives a very resounding answer to the question, can God really give a man up? Over and over again, the Bible says, yes, God may give man up. But the final answer and the most convincing answer is the cross of Jesus Christ, where the Lord Jesus, hanging upon that cross, cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back on his own son because he couldn't stand all the sin that was upon him. You know, people say, that's not right that you preach it, God will leave you. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not even sorry. God will leave you. He will leave you. If you continue in your sin and you know better, he will leave you. And God wants you guys to hear this message today, because he does not want not one of you to be lost and undone. You're all supposed to be leaders, right? In some way, fashion, form, you're all leaders. Therefore, you have to know the truth so then you can minister the truth to the people. Now, Elaine, they minister love to those people on the street, because those people already know and admit that they're sinners. They do better than what people in the church do. You know, they don't think they're worthy of the love of God. But then God sends people like Elaine and her group out on the streets to assure them God still loves you no matter what you did. And then they turn their heart to God. And these are the people God said he's going to use in his house to minister his word. All right. But you guys, you know the word. And you've been told and taught. But still, you're still sinning. Now, if the shoe fits, put it off, it doesn't, forget about it. But still, you're still sinning. And so God's warning you that retribution has, he's been warning you over and over and over again, but he's getting ready to bring divine retribution. Whenever he does, you're done. You can look at Samson. You know, he got up and shook himself, but the anointing wasn't there because his hair was gone. And God didn't do anything for him, did he? He let him be put, his eyes gouged out, let him be put in prison. But Samson begged him, let me do one thing before I die. His hair had grown back. So he gave him enough strength and power to tear down those pillar walls and kill all those people. But he had to spend all that time in that prison, blinded, grinding out that wheat, because he abused God's gift God had given him. Don't abuse the gift that God gives you. All right, it is there that we learn that God can and does give men up, where Jesus was hanging on the cross. He is the holy God. He is a righteous God. He is a just God. Any other God would not be worthy of the name God. God does give men up. So then the question arises, if he gives men up to eternal judgment, does he really care for us? 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God did not make hell for man. He made hell for Satan. But his people are going there every day because they will not quit sinning. The very fact that the word of God has revealed to us our condition of sin, the very fact that God led the Apostle Paul to write these words that we read this morning, this very fact is evidence that God does care and wants you to know your condition as you stand before him this morning. And I always tell you, please check yourself. Please make sure you're okay every day. get before God and say, God, is there anything in me that's not pleasing to you? And if he shows you something, get rid of it. Whatever you do, get rid of it and walk worthy of your calling in God. It is the good news that Jesus has died for sinners and that you may be delivered from the impending wrath of God, or as God says, the wrath to come. Some pastors believe receive pleasant messages to give, and then there are my message of repentance, and they are very needed. I've sat a lot of times, and I think about from the first day I started, I've always preached repentance, always. That's what I'm here for. I'm here for, as a second John the Baptist, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are the remnant that's going to bring the truth to the people. And we have to learn the truth ourselves so then that we have the right truth to take out there to the world. And it was all scriptural today, wasn't it? You can prove everything that you say by pulling the scriptures out. And this is what you need to do. You need to know your scriptures so you can, when you're ministering to somebody, they say, where's that in the Bible? I had somebody do that to me last night. I said, come on, I'll show you where it's at in the Bible. Oh, it really does say that. And see, if you can prove it's in the Bible, then just maybe you can get their attention. Paul tells us that man's only available righteousness is a faith righteousness, not a works righteousness. All right? As you read the letters of Paul, that's what he tells you. When we fully surrender all that we are to God, and he's been asking us to do that, when that transaction takes place, God justifies you. You possess a righteousness that is acceptable to God as you give him your all, 100%. You take your place in the family of God as a son of God, as a child of God, and have the assurance of right relationship to the Father. Nobody should be sitting here feeling that I have no right to preach this. You should all be so in tune to God and so right with God that you'll say, amen. And you should be out there ministering to other people the truth of the word. And you know, you have to start living Jesus. You have to be long-suffering, full of love, full of grace, full of compassion. You can't go around being prideful and angry and haughty and high-minded. You can't do that and say you're walking with Jesus because that's not the truth. You have to have the same, if you're saying I belong to Jesus, then you have to have his attributes. You have to walk and talk like he does. Tonight when I preach, I'm going to bring out some things. But, you know, my grandson, Gabriel, said to me, he said, well, Jesus didn't get angry. I said, did he? He didn't? Well, yes, he did. And, you know, and a lot of people say, well, why are you getting angry? You know, there is a righteous anger. But then I've seen people just flat angry and say, well, that's righteous anger in God. No, it's not. It's your mindset and your attitude. And see, we have to make sure that we are, this is a fine line, God. It's a very fine line. And we have to be, I'm hearing God say, finely, F-I-N-E-L-Y, tuned in to God and what he's really all about if we are going to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to quit justifying your sin. God just said that. You have to quit justifying your sin. You have to start, you know, God's been telling me lately the body of Christ is so self-deceived. We are deceiving ourselves. You know, we want to be a certain way, so we make ourselves believe that we're walking where Jesus wants us to walk, and that's not true. You're self-deceived. You just need to get before God and let him tell you where you're really at and what's really going on in your life and where he's taking you to. We are getting ready to go into the most wonderful thing that God has ever brought upon the earth. And God's been really dealing with this church to get it together, has he not? Because he wants to use this church to bring revival. And this is why he's been dealing with us about getting into unity, because if you're not in unity, he can't use you to bring revival. See, the revival starts in you first. And then as we get together, we are in total unity, then revival breaks out. Are you listening here? And it's harder to bring revival now than it was 40 years ago when I first started, because right now the people are so disqualified, and they're so disjointed, and they are not wanting to walk in unity. And everybody wants to be the boss. Everybody wants to be the boss. Everybody wants to be in control. And when you get two heads butting together and both want to be in control, it's a mess. You know, you have to be able to work with anybody in any given situation. You have to be a team player. Jesus was a team player, was he not? So you've got all that information now this morning. What are you going to do with it? Are you really going to be just like Jesus? Are you going to be half you and half Jesus? And that won't work. I was excited hearing how Astrid and them went out there and ministered to the people. That excited me. And I was sitting there saying, God, maybe we didn't have the March for Jesus, but we had this. And that's why the one guy said he didn't have March for Jesus, because he was having this in September. And I'm so glad that you were able to participate. And I'm so glad that you were a light. You were a light. And see, this is what God's been trying to get us to do. Be a light in a dark, dark place. And if you check what God's doing with you, you're going to find yourself being at peace when there's all kind of turmoil around about you. And you're going to find when people are trying to drag you into their mess, you just aren't in there. And you can't even get there. Because God has you in a special cocoon, and he doesn't want you to be drawn into somebody else's mess. So if you're like that, if there's turmoil around about you, and they're coming to you with all this mess, and you just can't get involved in it, and you think, what's wrong with me? Am I dead or no more feelings? No, it's God having you in a cocoon. He doesn't want you messed up in that mess, because he wants you to keep your anointing. Are you understanding this? You have to guard your anointing with your life. Don't allow, I just, with Brett and Nancy, went out for the first time ministering, and they had a wonderful, people just saying how wonderful it was, and and they just had a good time with them. And I told them, guard that anointing. Don't let anybody steal that anointing now. This is your first time. I just told them, everybody, about a week ago, you're all going to start going out and ministering. And God told me, Lane started it with our street ministry. Now you guys have picked up, and some of you other guys are going to start going out. I said, you're going to be going out into your ministries. You have to get it together with God. Amen? Come on. Father God, I thank you this morning. I praise you. And I give you all honor and all glory for everything you said here. And Father God, I feel that coming against in the atmosphere. And so Father God, right now I bind it in the name of Jesus. I come against every foul spirit of darkness that would try to steal, kill, and destroy everything you've done here this morning. Now, Father God, we just, as a group of believers, we trust you this morning, and we know that you have us in the very palms of your hands, and that you are leading, guiding, and directing us. And my children, as you come to the altar this morning, I am going to cover you with my pinions, where the enemy will not be able to draw you into his strongholds, where you will have peace that passes all understanding, no matter what else is going on around about you. This is your day, and this is your hour of complete freedom from the snare of the fowler. And believe me, I am going to thrust you out there into that darkness, and your lights shall shine, and you shall bring many, many, many into my kingdom. This is the hour of redemption for the lost and the dying. And I need you, my children. I need you to be covered completely and totally by me. We thank you for it, Father. So what God wants to do, if you want to come to the altar this morning, he wants to cover you totally and completely, where the enemy can no longer come in and prevail in your life. And I've just went through that. And I do know that God is doing that to his people right now. No matter what the enemy tries to do to you, they will not be able to touch you in any way, shape, or form. Many of you are going to be, people are going to come against you, but pay no attention to them. You just walk with God and do what God's calling you forth to do.